It is 8:31 Thursday, March 23rd, and this is the Administration and Operations Committee meeting of the Annuity and Pension Board of the Employees Retirement System. Can I please have a roll call?
Yes, Ms. King?
Present.
Mr. Klusman?
Here.
Ms. Sawa?
Here.
Quorum?
Here. Okay, agenda item one is the election of the vice chair. So for this, oh, go ahead. Was someone saying something?
No, this is just Mr. Klusman. I was going to hop in there, but you were still talking. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I nominate Ms. King, unless you were going to say something.
Nope, I was going to ask for a nomination.
Oh, okay, well, it's early, so you started us early, so we're all so eager this morning. They could jump right out.
Okay. And so after the nomination, do it. I'll second the nomination, right?
Yes, and just ask if there's any more nominations. Ask three times.
Oh, yeah. Are there any more nominations? Are there any more nominations? Are there any more nominations? And then do we have to vote?
Not really. Polly's on the post, so you can just call the motion to accept it.
I'll accept that, Ms. Chair. I thank you for the opportunity, and Mr. Klusman, I appreciate the vote of confidence. I look forward to working with you both collaboratively, the entire committee, and also the administration on continuing our work on the Administration Operations Committee. So thank you. Look forward to work with you both another year.
Thank you for serving, Ms. King.
Thank you. And if we can drag this meeting out long enough, you'll get to jump in right away today.
Alrighty. Okay. So with that, congratulations, Ms. King. Let's move on to agenda item two, approval of the Wells Fargo extension amendment.
Thank you, Aisha. We have Kathy Block from the City Attorney's Office, and Mary, would you like to introduce the subject?
Sure. Well, Kathy can speak to this better than I. We need to extend the old contract another 3 months to give her time to complete the new document, the new contract.
Yeah, thank you, committee. Kathy Block, Assistant City Attorney. The amendment would be on the same terms as the prior extension, which is on the same terms as the prior contract. I have spoken to David Offord at Wells Fargo. He is just seeking an approval, which he expects will be offered directly. And we've had initial conversations about the new contract, which we expect will build around the prior contract. We just both need to take a look at, our city terms, their internal terms, and account for any, new terms that need to be, any terms that need to be amended since the last contract was executed. We expect that that'll happen directly after this amendment is executed. And I appreciate your indulgence in amending the contract one last time. My workload just sort of exploded at the time when we needed to make this happen.
Okay. Are there any questions?
I don't have any questions, but I'd move to approve this extension.
Plus one, second.
Okay. Then I guess the motion has been approved. So I think that's it. Thank you, Kathy.
Welcome.
We need to go.
Okay. Moving on to agenda item three, the Baker Tilly financial audit.
No. We need to take it out of order.
Okay.
And go all the way to item eight, which you need to read a closed session statement for, or go into closed session for.
Okay. Item eight is...
Kathy needs to be here for it.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yep, makes sense. Okay, item eight is the approval of the Ide Bailey contract. Please be advised that the Annuity and Pension Board may vote to convene in closed session on the following... Oh, wait. Okay. On the following item as provided in Section 19.851E, Wisconsin State Statutes, to deliberate or negotiate the purchasing of public properties, investing of public funds, or conducting other specified public business whenever competitive or bargaining reasons require a closed session. The board may then vote to reconvene in open session following the closed session. I think we need a motion to go into closed session.
Yes.
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Molly.
Westman will second.
Thank you.
And roll call, Ms. King?
Aye.
Mr. Klusman?
Aye.
Ms. Sawa?
Aye.
Quorum, and if you say the time, I'll pause the recorder.
8:37.
Thanks. Time?
It is 8:54 a.m.
Thanks.
Okay, can I have a motion then to for the approval of the DS consulting contract?
Plusman will motion for approval.
Thank you.
Ms. King will second.
Thank you. Hearing no objections, the motion passes. Let's go back to agenda item three, right? The financial audit from, yep, with Baker Tilly?
Yes. That would be next.
Is this marked for closed session as well?
Oh, no. Not the financial audit.
No, okay. That's a following item three. Is that a typo?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, right. It is closed session because they have a candid discussion with the committee at this point in their...
Oh, right. Or, yeah. Okay, so then do we need to start off anything in open session then?
Different.
You have to read this exception because it's a...
Oh, yeah,
it's different,
yeah, yeah,
than,
sorry,
the other ones.
Right, sorry. Okay. Please be advised that the Administration and Operations Committee may vote to convene in closed session of the following item three as provided in Section 19.851C for considering employment, promotion, compensation, or performance evaluation data of any public employee over which the governmental body has jurisdiction or exercises responsibility, and in Section 19.851F when considering financial, medical, social or personal histories or disciplinary data of specific persons, preliminary consideration of specific personnel problems, or the investigation of charges against specific persons, except where paragraph B applies, which, if discussed in public, would be likely to have a substantial adverse effect upon the reputation of any person referred to in such histories or data or involved in such problems or investigations. The Administration and Operations Committee may then vote to reconvene in open session following the closed session. Can I have a motion to go into closed session?
Klusman, a motion.
Ms. King will second.
Thank you.
And roll call, Ms. King?
Aye.
Mr. Klusman?
Aye.
Ms. Sawa?
Aye.
Quorum, and if you say the time, I'll pause the recorder again.
The time is 8:56.
Thanks.
Everybody has to
get
back in, including
C. Okay, perfect. The next agenda item is number four, Clifton Larson Allen and the internal audit status report presentation of 2022. Who's going to kick us off?
I'll kick us off, Aisha.
Thank you.
And I don't know if you were going to share a screen. Thank you, Terry. Terry, if you go to slide two. So one, I'll start off by saying good morning. And from CLA, you have Bill Judd, our relationship leader here. You have Dan Ludwig, who is our engagement director. David Anderson, who is our cybersecurity principal. And then you have myself as the engagement leader. On this page, I just call out a couple things. As you recall from our last discussion on December 15th, we reviewed with the A&O the results of the benefit payroll audit. The 22 audit program had a heavy emphasis this year on all things IT, and that's part of a planned cycle, if you will, from a risk-based audit program. And CLA has issued five IT detailed IT audit reports that were vetted with management. And then these five IT audit reports include, a broad spectrum of all things IT, disaster continuity, disaster recovery, IT general controls. The other piece is internal vulnerability assessment, external vulnerability assessment, and purple team exercise. That all sounds great, but David Anderson from our team will kind of share with you later what that all means and summarize all of that. Later, we will, I'll pause for a moment. The other thing we wanted to share with you on slide three in this session would be just a brief recap of where are we relative to the audit plan for 22. So as you can see here, it's all green for a reason, meaning we've completed all the work. We've completed that work on budget. I'm going to pause there for a moment. Any comments, questions so far from what I've shared with you all?
Does anyone have any questions or comments? I think we're good.
Okay. So I think the other thing we wanted to do is go into some more details relative to those five IT reports. I did not know if you wanted to do that in an open session or in a closed session.
I believe we're moving into closed session for the IT audit.
Perfect.
So is that the same agenda item? No, it's the next agenda item. So we'll move on to agenda item five, which is the Clifton Larson Allen IT audit reports presentation. Please be advised that the Administration and Operations Committee may vote to convene in closed session on the following item as provided in section 19.851I, Wisconsin State Statutes, for considering all matters related to acts by businesses under S560-15, which if discussed in public could adversely affect the business, its employees, or former employees. The committee may then vote to reconvene in open session following the closed session. Can I have a motion to go into closed session?
Ms. King will make that motion.
Tom will second.
Thank you.
Ms. King for the roll call?
Aye.
Mr. Klusman?
Aye.
Ms. Sawa?
Aye.
Quorum?
The time is 9:22.
Thanks. Recorder.
9:49 a.m. And at this point, I think I'm going to pass the virtual gavel over to Molly, Ms. King, to take over for me.
Thank you.
And I do not have any comments on the next two agenda items, if I'm allowed to say that. So.
Thank you.
Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you, Aisha.
See you.
Aisha. Aisha. Our next item on the, are we an open session?
Yes.
Yeah, we are. Okay. Which item are we on right now?
Could we close out of the budget, Molly, item six?
Okay. Who wants to take item six?
We'll start. Daniel's going to cover this, our chief financial officer. Daniel, okay. Go ahead. There's an exhibit in the package. It's a memo to me from Daniel. So please proceed, Dan. Are you on the line? Hopefully.
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yep.
All right. In your packet, you should have a memo from me to Jerry, just going over the 2022 budget to actual summary. As part of our intergovernmental agreement with the city of Milwaukee, they process our invoices for us. And then on a monthly basis, we reimburse the city for those expenses. For 2022, I've tallied all our expenses, and they total $17,297,096.20. Of that, $461,041.14 relates to non-trust activities. That would be like when our salaries for the group life program, the retiree health administrative expenses. We also administer the PABF, that's a legacy pension plan. I think there's only a few people left in that plan. So that means that we have $16,836,055.06 of expenses that are funded by the trust for 2022. Previously, we've advanced the city $15,426,000 towards these costs in 2022. The balance owed to the city is then $1,410,055.06. This mostly is comprised of accruals of 2022 expenses that were paid after the close of the 22 fiscal year. Yeah, so if anyone has any questions, we just need a motion to approve payment of the $1,410,000 back to the city.
Tom, do you have any questions?
Dan, where's the 1 million? I mean, I see we came in way under budget, right? So we budgeted 21.6 for this and came in at 17.3.
Yep.
We still owe, is that because it's like, do we pay quarterly?
We pay monthly. And essentially, yeah, like I said earlier, it's expenses that we were invoiced in 2023, but they relate to 2022 expenses. Like we get most of it's investment manager fees that we pay after the year end.
Okay, and then they pay first, and then we pay them back, and there's no additional premium like interest or anything they're charging us for the delay, or it's there.
No, there's not.
No, we're not paying interest to the city under any circumstances.
Okay, I'm just trying to be. You
well,
know,
that's okay. I'm not laughing at you, Tom. I just the idea that we would pay interest to the city is amusing to me.
Yeah,
there's no way.
Yeah, I've got to ask because the way we discount the prepayment for their share, I just wonder if we're paying on the backside. So I still have concerns about the calculation of the fringe benefit offset, but I understand there's a lot of moving parts in this, so I think there's a little bit of give and take with that. So as long as they're not, it sounds good to me. Because especially like, you know, that is now opened up a little bit more because with us paying, you know, now we've got some of the highest paid people in city government, like we should, and I'm saying that as with pride, not with any shame, that we have, you know, but there's only a handful of them. But when we get charged a percentage of their salary for their benefits, when their health insurance plan costs the same as any other employees, there's a little bit of an offset there. But I get in the totality of this whole thing, it probably all fleshes out. So. Yeah.
Question, Tom. Yeah, at some point, I mean, if you want, we could maybe have a sit down and have the comptroller with Dan and team just identify like, what's making up that $1.5 million in fringe. That's not a bad idea. It's such a hard thing, even for myself, to understand this whole fringe, like all the various moving parts. I swear every time I think I get more confused every time they bring it up. So yeah, if you want, that's not a bad idea. I mean, ownership of what our expenses are, and their job to explain it to us. So if you want that, that's something I'd be happy to recommend.
Okay. I guess the one question would be that fringe benefit offset, and I probably missed the opportunity here because Aichi just left. Is that same calculation? Is that the one they use for all enterprise funds that the city does this for? This isn't just specific to us. They apply this to the water department and everyone else. They do this. That's the okay. I see it nodding head. So that's good. So this is across the board. So everybody's getting the same charge.
Yeah, I think Dan, correct me if I'm wrong. I think they make an assumption and predict based on prior years what it would think it would be, and then they wait for the actual to come in, and then it showed up to say, here's how much you actually spent in all these various areas, and here's what the actual cost is. So I'm assuming that's what that 1.522 is.
Yep, exactly.
Cool.
The only question I have is the facility rental and property service, that seems to be a fixed cost mostly, and so for it to be varied by 68, what's the reason for that? It's the minimum, but just curious.
Well, we pay a base rent amount for both 789 water and our remote office. There's also it's called common area maintenance charge they charge us, and that's based on all of that. It can vary, you know, like a portion of the property taxes, cleaning, and any other maintenance item that gets supplied to us. So it will vary.
Okay. No, I think overall it obviously show prudence in your part for your budget. You came in about $4 million. I can't even know what percentage that is, but you came in way under budget, and that's a good thing. Obviously, one area we all know that you can't control is the professional services based on return on investments and various things like that, including insurance and things like that. So I don't have any questions. I think it's a really good job. Shows the good job you're doing within that sector. So I would, Tom, are you okay approving this? Do we need to approve this?
Yes.
Yeah, do we need to? I'll make a motion then if you want.
Yeah, please make that motion to approve the paying the remaining balance of $1,410,055.06 to the city 2022 expenses.
Tom makes a motion to approve that figure.
I'll second that.
Oh.
That's it?
Yep.
Okay. And now item number 7. The RFP for internal audit.
Well, thank you, Madam Chairman. So time goes fast. I mean, it seems like we just hired CLA, but it's time to start, you know, the RFP process again, because the contract expires at the end of the year. And so we have presented for your consideration in the packet, a draft RFP. It looks pretty similar to the one we did last time. Mary, do you have any comments about this?
No, it is very similar. Every time we do this, we basically work from the previous one and edit it.
So,
there were not a whole lot of changes made. The changes have more to do with like background information.
Yeah. So we will be testing the market in the next several months with your approval. And we use a Bonfire software to evaluate all of the RFP responses now. And so hopefully we'll get a robust response from the internal audit firms that are out there. We'll send it to the ones we know of and post it, of course, as well.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, it does feel like we just did this just recently. Tom, do you have any question with regards to the request for proposal?
No, time sure does fly, though.
Would you like to make a motion to approve this request?
Yes, make a motion to approve. Does somebody want to?
That's not necessary.
Oh. Well, thanks for letting us know. Appreciate it. Good luck.
Yep.
Okay. Item number eight we already covered, correct?
Yes. So we're down to IT products number 10.
And those are, is that for closed session?
No. These are just our general status report on everything going on in the IT world, and Jeff Schober is with us.
Okay. Jeff, do you want to give us an update on the IT projects?
Yes, ma'am. Good morning. Appreciate having a chance to talk to you all. So this first slide is, as we present every meeting, is a compendium of all the things that are going on in IT. Bullet pointing out for you is the major projects and initiatives. A lot of them are carryovers because they're long-term projects. And there are a lot of our maintenance as well. So one thing I would put a note in here is the second item, Workspace ONE. That's a pretty significant piece of our security posture. That's allowing us to actually go out and manage all of the remote endpoint devices that we have, all the laptops, all the cell phones, all of the iPads that we have on the environment, which is, you know, a major vector for potential security issues. So we will be able to see what's going on with those, make sure they're updated, and I keep them up to date from a patch standpoint. Let's see, nothing else there that's particularly stands out, and then a couple of them were covered in the audit report from CLA. So any questions on those?
Tom, do you have any question?
No, my only question for Jeff is that I keep hearing that COVID was a bad thing, but I recall during COVID when he was giving us his report, he was sitting in what looked like a magazine with the backdrop of the woods and beautiful scenery and stuff, and now I see him in a cubicle or some box or something, so I think his life is degraded substantially. He looked better in the old days, sitting in the woods.
I think you'll see that again in June, because for the June meeting, I will be on that same camping trip, so you will see exactly the same backdrop.
Good. Make sure you turn on your camera, because I want to see it.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you for the update. The next page.
So every year at the 10 of the March meeting, we present a summary of effort for IT performed in the previous calendar year, and that's what this slide represents. So we did a little different this year. We actually built it as a pie chart, which may give you a little more graphical, intuitive graphical idea of how things shape out for us and how we actually spend our time. There's a couple of statistics at the bottom. Our uptime is very good and actually would have been 100% had we not had a power outage in the building. And it talks about how many tickets we've opened and closed and how many merits releases we've actually put in service in calendar year 2022.
Remind me again, Jeff, what is it, merit releases? What is that again?
So every month there may be a merit release, and that may be data fixes, it may be code updates, the fixed code that we found a problem with, it may be upgrades, say there's a government regulation that changes, we have changed merits, the way taxes are applied, or some new rule comes out that we have to apply, that's what those releases are.
Tom, do you have anything to add to this? Are you good?
Nope. I'm overwhelmed, so I won't butt in.
Yep. Thank you, Jeff. And this slide here, if Tom will read it out to us.
This is a tabular representation of the actual ongoing projects, and the top portion and the bottom portion is projects we've closed in the last 12 months. So
it's really hard to read this. Maybe in the future it'll brighten.
It's an eye chart, yes. We probably should give it to them, make it a little easier to read.
Yeah. Anything for us to be concerned or to worry about?
Everything's on schedule, on track. And a big piece of our time is we've at the very end of last year and bleeding into this year, we purchased a whole new set of servers because we were doing a technology refresh. So we're pretty busy right now absorbing all those servers and putting them into service, and we'll be finishing that up here probably in the next 6 to 8 weeks.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Final agenda item, personal update, organizational personnel update. Who would like to update us on that?
Yes, thank you, Molly. Melanie, are you online?
Yes, Jerry, I'm on the line.
Okay, why don't you go ahead and speak to this?
Okay, well, we just have the one item, one vacancy, and that's for our lead pension specialist. This position, Barb retired last week, Friday was her last day, and we opened it up as a citywide transfer promotion, and the deadline for this is going to be March the 31st, so at that point, we should know by then how many applicants we have. So we're hoping to get a really good selection of candidates. And do you have any questions?
Well, I just want to add a couple things to that. The vacancy was approved by the F&P at the last meeting, number one. And number two, Barbara is making herself available for transition purposes. As necessary, so that we have continuity. Well, we have continuity anyway, because Mike Juke is the manager of our area, and we have other counselors too. But I just wanted to reassure the trustees that we've, you know, made sure that that we're not going to, you know, have problems
counseling our members because of the retirement.
Okay.
Even though it was on short notice.
You know, Barbara's been very instrumental. I've heard real great things about her on this side of town, you know, and so I'm glad to hear you have infrastructure in place just in her absence and for her also to be available for cross-training and things like that. So this is really good. Hopefully you'll get some really good, robust candidates on the vacancy, you know, the open application there. So good luck with that. Tom, do you have any questions with regards to this?
Just out of curiosity, where does this position fall, like above the counselors and below Dave or Mike?
Right, it's really a sort of a lead counselor job. It's below Mike, and there's three other counselors that, you know, work with Barb and Mike. So you're correct.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, it's a I know I'm just speaking out loud, but you're already on top of it. That's a very well-oiled machine that people are. I only hear good things about the counselors, so hopefully we get a good person in there because we need to change that. Because everybody that I've talked to that retires is very satisfied with the service they get along that route.
Thank you.
Thank you. I don't think we need to approve this, do we? It's already been approved, or?
No, it's just a report.
Okay. And that concludes all of our agenda items. Is there anything anybody wants to share with us or discuss? Otherwise, I think we're good to adjourn. Is that okay?
Yes.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Okay. I'll second that. Thanks, everyone, and thanks for the opportunity again, Tom, for serving as the vice chair of this committee.
Molly, could you stay on for a second?
And just say the time.
Okay.
Time now is 10:08 a.m.
Thanks.